I hope you can start meeting like that again.
What if we can? We'll send them a new meeting invite to everybody. That'd be easy.
Okay, I'm going to turn the recording off. Or should I just pause?
Okay, Tom?
Yes?
Let me share the screen really fast, and then you can take that away. Let's see. Here we go. I'm sorry. Something's not working for me. Can't get my I can't seem to unpause my screen share.
Well, everything's probably in our packets. Should we just grab our packets?
I want to be able to present it to the audience here. All right, let me try this one more time. I apologize. Let's see here. I cannot seem to figure out how to. You all are waiting so patiently. Thank you. Somehow I paused the screen share and I cannot seem to stop unpause it. Sam, do you have an idea of how we might unpause the screen share? See how it says paused? And I try to resume it. Why is it paused? This one goes just to the top. Let's just say resume share.
Try maybe a new share and try it all over.
I did that. Chat. Okay, we're going to give this one more shot here. Sorry, everybody.
Now just go share screen.
Yeah. Okay, I get to my screen. Share. And it doesn't let me. They do. You're right. I think I don't know what happened with this setting here.
We had it up once.
I know. that's it. I'm trying to share the PowerPoint. That's the screen. That's the somehow it got paused and it doesn't want to unpause.
Isn't technology wonderful?
It was until a few minutes ago.
That was sarcasm. My tongue lacked sincerity. I'll be glad to start doing this stuff in person again.
No, I was joking too. I just don't know. I've got this button. Alt. It seems to me that it should go right back to
is
doing.
It behind them, maybe? Where is it?
No. Getting her slides up.
Open it up there.
It'd be worse. Yeah,
and we thought this was going to be a short meeting.
Maybe shorter than you thought.
Haven't called the door yet, have you, Tom?
It's just a pleasure.
Try.
I know. I don't know. That's the video. That's the view. Maybe try that. Try speaker view. Let's try this. See, it's weird that you can't see the slides, though. Something's paused.
Is it paused there if you open it?
Well, it's the woman controlling it, right?
It's already open.
Well, today's International Women's Day. Congratulations, ladies.
Well, we see something.
You got is it, Tom?
Huh?
That's me.
Uh-huh. Do you all see it?
Yeah, I do.
Huh?
All right, well, that only took us 10 minutes. All right. If you're ready, go ahead and start the meeting.
Well, this is the meeting of the March 8th, 2021. I'll just have a silent roll call. Who's missing?
Dan Davey is not
Dan.
Here.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's open up. Pledge allegiance.
Okay. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands,
one nation,
through God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Very good.
All right. Item number one. It's approval of the joint minutes of the Planning and Zoning Commission Board of Adjustment and the Development Reboard dated February 8th, 2021. Comments?
Move approval.
Second?
Second.
Who seconded that? Was that you, Peter?
Yes, Pam.
Peter second. Thank you.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right, move to item number two. Stacy, is case number 20-12-B is in Victor. Applicant is Tyler Green.
Yes, thank you, Tom. Thank you, members of the board. Thank you again for your patience. Hopefully this is worthwhile, though. I think we're getting more comfortable, and I think that our way that we present information is getting better during these crazy times. We are looking at two cases tonight. Let's just be aware that they are two separate cases, but because they are so interrelated, we just thought we would do one presentation. And I'll remind you at the end of the presentation that we still will require two separate motions and approvals. But we are looking at, again, two cases, both on Ocotillo Circle and the Boulders. One is located at 1110 and 1108. Yes, Tyler Green is the architect and applicant. He's representing both John and Lynn Bickle, as well as John Agnish and Julie Sally. And John, I hope I pronounced your name okay. I'm sorry, I don't know why. Are you guys getting feedback? Yeah.
No.
Yes.
Some of you are.
This happens in council meetings too.
It does, but this hasn't happened to me before. All right.
I see the screen.
All right, let's keep moving, and hopefully I'll try to sit back. Maybe that'll make a little difference. All right, so each of these requests, again, are very similar, but we'll go through them individually. Each applicant is looking to add a small garage addition into their side yard setbacks, as well as having to increase their lot coverage. When we get into the presentation, we'll look at the actual site plans, and you'll see what makes these two properties a bit unique. But for the record, for 1110 Ocotillo Circle, which is case 20-12-B, they're looking for encroachment of 10 feet into their 10-foot side yard setback. They are looking to also increase their lot coverage to 53.3%, where only 25% is permitted. For 1108 Ocotillo Circle, that is case number 20-13-B. Same thing, they're looking to build into their 10-foot setback, where 10-foot is required. And they also need to increase their allowed lot coverage to 53.1%. So looking at this aerial, you can see these are the two properties. And again, what brings a lot of these variances forward to you, the board, is that, for example, these were zoned R118, but they're, for one, they're detached property. I'm sorry, they're attached properties, which is unusual for the town of Carefree.
and their lots are very undersized. They're more than less than half. They're more than less than half the required lot size. But you can see that they are adjoined, and they are they share a property line, in fact, as well. Looking at these a little bit closer, this diagram helps you sort of see where the proposed additions are being located in the side yard setbacks. You can see it's 10 feet. And they're looking to almost mirror these garage additions. It almost kind of works as one kind of total building in a sense. When we get to a little bit later in the presentation, you'll see how the elevation just kind of blends together. But you can also see on these small lots, there's a lot of square footage. I think when these were built, they never conformed to the lot coverage of 25%. Looking at each again a little bit more closely, again, this is a little bit redundant, but I think we're getting a better idea of the outline of the existing residence. You can see that not only are the where they're proposing these additions are non-conforming conditions, but even each lot, either at its front or back, also shares non-conforming conditions. But it's kind of interesting that working together, utilizing the same architect, they're kind of creating kind of what they believe will be kind of a cohesive elevation and development. So again,
is
a little more.
Is there still fire access to the rear?
I'm sorry?
Is there still fire access to the rear? Is there still fire access to the real properties?
Well, let's just wait
until the plan.
Phil, if we could just get, we'll get right, the fine. Presentation and then we'll ask the questions. Thank you. We're close.
No problem.
We're close. So you can kind of see, again, there's kind of this mirroring effect. The architect is looking to emulate the tile roof. It looks like these things fit together and work together as well. Again, for both projects, the applicant did comply with the citizen participation requirements. And in each case, he did not receive any comments or objections to the cases, as well as town staff never received any issue or any complaints or questions as well. So at this point, so this is a little different than our normal meetings. This is now, and some of the more seasoned members are aware of what a public hearing is, but this is what we consider something that we open up to the public. See if there's any comments. We close that public hearing, and then you make your motions to move forward. But before we even open the public hearing, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Bill? Might have to do with fire access to the rear of the properties. It looks as if the 10 feet is on either the opposite side, so the fire department is looking back to the backyard, right?
You know what, Phil? I'm going to let Tyler Green. I'm going to unmute him, or he can unmute himself, and he could probably better answer those questions and explain that to you. Thank you, Tyler. Okay.
Yeah, board members, this doesn't change any access to the rear of the property because it's. The houses are already a common wall at this point where we're building these garages. So it's just filling in a space that's open, but not blocking any access to the rear. These homes are both common wall side to side. So any access to the rear of these properties is around the neighboring home through the common area.
Any other questions? Okay, Tom,
I have one question.
Okay.
The 1110 one has some serious palm trees in it, which are not native, that have to be removed, I gather. Is that correct, Tyler?
That's correct.
But they're non-native, so it doesn't make any difference to this, yes.
I think the local association prefers that they be removed.
Yeah.
Any other questions of the board members?
Explain how the hardship is not theirs. They buy a building on the land. They know the existing rules, yet they come in now trying to modify the rules. How's that not a self-imposed hardship?
Well, it's an interesting way that you've asked the question, but the property itself, regardless of who owns that property, is a legal non-conforming property. It was zoned R118 which means the minimum lot size is 18,000 square feet. So these lot sizes are each 7,800 square feet. So regardless of who owns it and when they own it, it's a legal non-conforming lot. Same with the lot coverage. These were built in the early 70s before we had our zoning in place. So being attached for one is an issue. The coverage under roof is an issue. But again, it's not by fault of any of the past or current property owners. So it kind of runs, I would say in a way, kind of the non-conformance runs with the land.
The issue is not non-conformance. The issue is taking the non-conformance and doing something with it, right? And you can either live with the non-conformance or you can ask for a variance. When you ask for the variance, you're self-imposing that, aren't you? I'm just concerned about the legal nature of what we're doing.
I understand.
Which we have to have that self-imposed, okay?
I guess I just don't agree in the sense that because you purchase a property that has non-conforming circumstances on it, that you created your own hardship. It's not self-imposed.
You didn't create it when you bought it. You created it when you try and do something on top of it that is non-conforming. Anyway, I'm not belaboring the point, so just move on. I just want to make sure we understand what we're doing as a board of adjustment.
I don't think you're doing anything improper. This is the reason we have the variance process, because Phil, a little bit by that logic would be anytime anybody buys a non-conforming lot, they can't do anything to it. So I think it's not about a person stepping forward and purchasing something. It's about, you know, what they want to do at that time and who owns the property at that time. But it's a very interesting, it's a kind of fun debate for maybe outside the meeting.
Phil? Well,
if I may make a comment, Phil, you're new on board, but we see this quite a bit.
Yeah.
And what everyone has to remember, what those new on board have to remember is, as Stacy said, a lot of this stuff was built in the 60s and the 70s. When it was incorporated, they put blanket zoning on top of everything, many of which, and a couple of your neighbors too, Phil, non-conforming lots. But that's because the zoning was put on after they had bought those homes, and there's no way to correct it. And it's just more government stuff when they put blanket zoning on the whole area.
Yeah, this case has my support. I'm just trying to figure out, making sure we're doing it step by step correctly, that I understand from my own personal point of view. Isn't there a provision in our zoning someplace that says if you want to do something on your property and it was built before the town was incorporated, that you don't have to do anything? You just are. Isn't there a grandfather right of some sort in our zoning rights? So then,
I think grandfathering you're kind of grandfathered by your nonconformance, but that doesn't mean that you can expand that nonconformance. It's just that you can legally exist. But it is an interesting question, but I don't think if you buy a non-conformance, that means that you're stuck, that anytime you want to go outside of that non-conformance, you would be denied that right to do so. And I think it goes back to, it's not about who owns it and when they own it. It's about the property at that time.
You're right. We'll have a philosophical debate later. Yes, sir. Listen.
The historic thinking on these old non-conforming lots is that if reasonable variances are not granted, there's no way for people to improve their homes and for some even to do reasonable upkeep, and they would just become shabby and nasty. That's been the historic thinking.
Fair enough.
Tom, did you want to go ahead and open the public hearing?
Yeah. Comments? Is there any public comments or questions out there? Please limit it to 3 minutes. I guess not. Okay. If that's the case, we have two up here. No, you need to go further, Stacy, on this?
No, all you need to do is technically close the public hearing and then look for two separate motions that are listed up for whoever would like. Right, so I would do one at a time.
Uh-huh. So I have a motion to approve on item number 2, case number 20-12-V as in Victor.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, so approved. Item number 3, case number 20-13-V is in Victor at 1108 Ocotillo Circle. Do I have a motion to approve?
So So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Well, that would take care of it. Stacey, are there any announcements? Item number four?
No, Chairman Cross, I do not have any announcements for this evening. Again, I apologize for the technical difficulties as well as my speech. we might be having different boards, different commissions, but be prepared to meet each month because we've got a lot on my table here. So
is there anything that's ready to be scheduled for next month, right now?
Not for a variance case, but I think we have a fill waiver, which is a case that we look at in terms of when people want to put more building fill under their pad than we would allow. I think we talked about we'd like to see a balance. And there might be a mountainside case that comes with that as well. I know a little bit slow, but we're going to definitely be moving into some more interesting and sort of larger cases as the year goes on.
I may make a comment before we turn. Phil, you got some background music sound in there. Is your sound duplicating itself?
Because no, Tom, I'm fine. I have nothing else.
No, we keep hearing,
unless it's my computer.
We keep hearing stuff that's coming originating from you.
Nothing here. Silence in my room. Even the dog is outside.
Well, that's interesting because we're hearing it and it's originating from you.
Hmm. Well, I'm having kind of funny night tonight.
Your house is haunted, Phil.
maybe I have heavy breathing. I don't know.
That being the case, then I guess we move to adjourn.
The move.
All those in favor?
Second.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you guys so much.
Have a good evening,
everyone.
Thank you, Tyler. Thank you, John.
Zoom meetings, Zoom.
Adios, guys.
Let's get the hang of it, and then we'll get into
John.
Yes, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Maybe you can sell those palm trees to somebody in Phoenix.
yeah. Maybe send them to California.
Have a good night. I'm gonna end the meeting now. We'll see you all later.
All right.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.